Good morning. So as Andrew has mentioned at the beginning about the theme today for patience, and as also he suggested how we can get impatient about different things, I'm sure if I was to ask each one of us, there'd be different things which niggle us, different things that we find hard to wait for. And we can be amazed when we have a friend or a member of the family who have been so patient about something. We think, oh, how can they possibly wait? It's like if I get a letter, I have to open it straight away. And you see some people who will put it in their pocket or their bag and they'll wait to read it at a more, you know, appropriate moment. But I want to know what's in that letter and I like to open it straight away. There are all sorts of things that we have to wait for, whether it's about news. We know that Jill, our curate, is awaiting lots of exciting events in her life. Next week she's going to be ordained priest in Liverpool Cathedral. Her two children are going to be getting married. And just lots and lots of exciting things to wait for. And I bet she just can't wait. The time is going to fly. And yet, on the other hand, she's going to feel, oh, the time's dragging. I just can't wait for it to happen. There'll be people that we know who are waiting for results, exam results. And then you can have that mixed feeling, real butterflies in the stomach as to what the results will be, whether it will be good news or bad news. And so it's a bit of a bittersweet experience, just waiting on what the results will give. And then there are those who know that something very difficult is going to happen. And it may be health, it may be situation in the family, it may be loss of a job, whatever it might be. And they know that's coming. And they've just got to deal with their life and their emotions and their relations, all that's going on in their life, as they wait for that event to take place. So there are all sorts of things that we wait for, and how do we deal with those things? So let's just pray as we look at these passages. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege of meeting with you. Thank you, as we read out earlier in the service, how precious we are to you, and you delight us to draw close to you. And we pray now, Father, for your Holy Spirit to speak to us and to show us the light of the Lord Jesus in your living word, that you will speak to us, encourage us, challenge us, and just equip us as we seek to follow you. In Jesus' name, for your glory, we pray. Amen. So if you'd like to turn to the James passage, first of all, James chapter 5, on page 1216. So here we're seeing that he's saying, be patient. Be patient until the Lord's coming. We know that Jesus has died, he's rose again, he's ascended to be with the Father, and he had promised them that he was coming back. And so they were wondering, when is he going to come back? We've got to be ready for when he comes back. And they were living their lives with such expectation that Jesus was going to return. But they didn't know when. And how are we to approach the last times, 2,000 years later? We're still waiting. For Jesus' return. The translation of the expression used for coming in the Greek, there are a variety of interpretations. It could imagine the invasion of a country by an army, or a visit of a king, when everything has to be ready, and everything has to be just right for that army or for that king who's going to be coming. There's also the sense of the accession of an emperor to an imperial power of Rome. So that sense of whether you like it or not, it's happening. He's coming and he's going to be in control. Jesus is going to appear to those who's waiting for him and recognise his authority, but also he'll appear to those who have disregarded him. It's not a case of just going to be a vision to those people who want to see him and are waiting for him. He is going to appear. End of, whether you're expecting him or not. Another interpretation is the unveiling, the laying bare of the mysteries, revealing the power and the glory of God. So as James is talking about this, they have all these ideas and images in their mind of what is it going to be like when Jesus returns. So the early church actually had an expectation of the return of Christ, which was wrong, because they were believing that it would be in their lifetime, in their generation. They understood that he was coming back, And they were living, perhaps sometimes, neglecting things, because they were just almost sitting there, just waiting for it to happen. You know, when you're waiting for a bus or a train, there's nothing else you can do at the time, is there? Because if you get involved in something else, you might miss the bus. And so it's that sense of, for some people, time had stopped and they were just still in their lives. But Peter is challenging them here. James is challenging them here, saying, yes, he is coming back, but we still have our responsibilities, we still have our lives, and we still need to seek to glorify Jesus in our lives. We need to be mindful of our responsibilities and care for one another, and to care for God's creation, which he has made us stewards over. So some Christians feel, oh, I can't be doing with all this green stuff, all this ecology stuff and everything. We've just got to concentrate on Jesus coming back. But the Lord has asked us to be stewards of all of his creation. So as we read these wise words from James, we wonder about James, who is the brother of Jesus. And there's a suggestion in some of the commentaries that agriculture, farming, might have been his trade. We know that Jesus was a carpenter when he was a boy, working in Joseph's workshop. But we don't know about James. But there's so much referring to growth and farming and plants and the way that plants grow, that it makes you wonder it might have been his trade, his living. And he portrays all through his letters the doctrine of Christian life as a process, a growth. And he gives in this passage an example of the farmer. And we see how he has to sow his seed and care for it, but really leave it to get on with its work. And he has to trust from past experience if the conditions are right. And he knows that even though he can't see what's happening underground, he trusts with his experience what's taking place. And that eventually he'll see the growth, he'll see the fruit. So how should we react to trouble or joy? If when we face difficulties head on with God's help and we come out the other side, we come out stronger. I'm sure many of us can share experiences of when it's been really difficult, but we've just so been aware of God's presence and peace, direction, protection. And afterwards you think, wow, thank you, Lord. Through it, I learned so much about you, about me, and about the whole situation. So it's a very valuable time, even though it might be really, really difficult to go through. When things go smoothly and are really easy, there's the risk of complacency, of slipping away from God's presence, because we can have that sense of not depending on him, that, oh yeah, I'm doing this quite well. And we can just, without meaning to sometimes, we can be pushing God away because we're relying on our own experience and our own strength and our own skills and gifts. But that can be dangerous. So in the good times and the bad times, it's so important to really hold on and to bring God into all our decisions and to all the situations that we face. The message of James is that we don't drift into holiness. I quite like that. It really is a sense of working with him, with God. Yes, we can't do anything to deserve salvation. We can't do anything to deserve the right to be in God's presence. But when we know that he has invited us and that Jesus has died for each one of us so that we can come into God's presence, we have to play our part. And we have to be determined. We have to make decisions about how we want to spend time with God, how we read his word, the choices that we make in where we spend our time, what we do. And that is our part of the relationship with God. It's not just carrying on with our lives and just drifting into perfection, because I'm sure all of us will be aware of how difficult that is, that we need to work at it, just as we need to work at exercise for our bodies. We need to eat the right food, we need to make the right choices about our diet. And it's the same in our relationship with God, as growing as Christians, that we need to make decisions and to allow the Holy Spirit to be at work, to feed us and to shape us into the person he wants us to be. In James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So we see here how it's that relationship that we ask God, but we also have to make decisions and decide how we are going to live. So patience is linked with faith and trust. It's very difficult to be patient when you've no idea of what's going on, and when you feel that there's no support, no sense of direction, and you just feel a bit like James said about being drifting around on the sea, and there's just no sense of identity or purpose or goal. But when we have faith, when we learn more about God and we see his purposes through history, and we learn that we are precious to him, that he loves us and he wants well for us, that helps us in our patience. Still difficult to be patient, but it helps us, because we know that we are part of God's plan, and that we are important to him, and that we're important involved in his church. And that can help us with our patience. Remember, in the Lord's Prayer, we're told to say, "Your will be done." And we don't know sometimes how that will pan out, but with patience, we can learn to see God in action in our own lives and in the situations that we're in. Sometimes we don't know anything. When we're a new Christian and we don't know about God, we have to just have that patience and trust. But in time, it's a real privilege. It can be based on knowledge and experience that we know from past situations. We can remember what God has done. And it's important to have that memory, to remind ourselves of what God has done in the past, and he'll do it again. And we're told that the Lord has compassion and mercy. It's not just a case of being patient and you've just stuck with it, but he walks with us. We're told that the Holy Spirit is our counsellor, our guide, and he understands our emotions, our feelings, all that we're going through. So as we look over in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 4, we can see what a tremendous privilege that we are God's chosen people. We're holy, and that means we're set apart. Not set apart in that we're goody-two-shoes and not good enough to mix with other people, but set apart in that we are a chosen people, that we are made in the image of God, we are filled with his Holy Spirit, and we have a purpose in all that we do, in our family life, our work, in our communities, in our church communities, that we are a chosen people and chosen to do something, not just to drift around, but chosen to seek God and to ask him, "What part am I to play?" We're dearly loved. Isn't that wonderful? We're told again and again that God is our Heavenly Father. Jesus called him Abba, Daddy. And I don't know what each of us have called our fathers, and I don't know what relationship we've had with our fathers. There may have been difficult relationships. In a few weeks we'll be celebrating, is it next week? No, in a couple of weeks we're celebrating Father's Day. And that can be difficult for some people who've had bad experiences. But we are told in his word that God is our perfect Father. So whatever experience we've had, we know that God is our Father who created us, made us, and keeps with us. He doesn't just make us and then lob us over the hedge and leaves us to get on with it. But he wants to meet with us, to talk things through with us, to help us make our decisions, and to know that we're very much part of his family. And that's such a privilege. But just like the prodigal son ran off and thought what he had wasn't enough and ran off and did his own thing, we have to remember that as he recognised that he made a big mistake and thought, "Do you think I could go back to Dad? Do you think he'll accept me even if I act as one of his servants?" But as he went back, his father was waiting for him with open arms. He was expecting him and delighted to see him and ran to him. And that's how God our Father is with us. We're told to clothe ourselves. It's not legalistic, but it's the status as God's child. We're part of the covenant people. We're part of a people that had been talked about right through history. And we are part of God's amazing history. So we're to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And to bear with each other. It's not just being with the people that we really enjoy being with, but it's being with those that we find a bit difficult. That's why it says bear with one another. But you know, as we bear with one another, we find out about each other. And we can begin to appreciate each other. And we're told to forgive one another as God forgave you. Love binds together in perfect unity. Not a unified thing where we all come out of a factory line and we're all exactly the same, made from a mould. No. But a unity that binds us in our differences, our characters, our personalities. But the Holy Spirit binds us in a unity because we're all children of God. And we all can learn to appreciate and support one another because we're all special, we're all precious to Him. So to close, in verse 8 and 9, we see our part to play. We need determination, but we see in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, God is faithful and just and forgives us when we come to Him in humility. Though we can trip up every day, but He loves us and is ready and willing to forgive us when we come with humility. A favourite quote of mine, which I knew from Oswald Chambers, but I don't know if he's the original source, but he says, "The Lord doesn't ask for success, but for faithfulness." The Lord doesn't ask for success, but for faithfulness. And it's as we learn patience, we can be faithful. And we can learn God's patience with us. And we can just learn how He wants us to be a part of His wonderful plan and His wonderful purposes. So as we go through a lot of differences and lots of changes in our church over the coming months, we need to hang on to that patience. We need to hang on to that, the fruit of the Spirit of kindness, forbearing, humility, but remembering to be patient and to look to Jesus, that He is our anchor and He is our focus. And just to finish, I was at the big church day out yesterday, which was absolutely fantastic, and I met, some of you know her, I met Jane Harris, who I hadn't been in touch with for years. I was walking past her on the way out and I heard this, "Caroline!" And she bounced up and gave me a hug, and she came out to visit me when I was in Brazil, and it was, we were both in tears. It was just so lovely to meet with her again. And it's just being part of God's family, of wherever we go around the world. But we are connected, we are united, because we are God's children. And I bought this because it was just so lovely, and it said the words that I want to finish with. From Psalm 130. "I wait patiently for the Lord. My soul expectantly waits. And in His word do I hope." So it's not just waiting patiently for whatever, but it's waiting expectantly. And that gives us hope, hope in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the hope that You give us. And as we've been looking today at patience, and it's something that we all find difficult in different ways, in different situations, but we thank You that You are a loving, merciful, gracious Father. And we thank You for the example of our Lord Jesus Christ and for all His promises to us, that He walks with us and equips us and gives us this ability to wait, to give us expectation and hope, because our hope is in You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.